you die. You said in 3 days you would rise. You did. You're alive. You rule. You reign. You said you're coming back again. I know that you will.
You would rise. Sorry.
Don, did you say that crisis care kits need to be brought to district assembly?
I'm sorry.
Did you say crisis care kits need to be brought to district assembly? Okay, because I'm going to talk about that today.
Whoa.
Good morning.
Morning.
How are you?
Good.
Good. I'm wonderful. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody get a little bit of rain this morning at your house? No? Yeah, I got up and thought it had rained overnight, but it had just rained just a little bit earlier this morning. So I hear we've got a little bit of rain maybe headed this way for this evening, maybe into tomorrow. So if you haven't got that first mowing of the year done, do it today, because after today, it's just going to take off and grow and grow and grow. I got mine mowed yesterday, but I didn't get it weed-eated. My wife hates it when I do that, when I mow, but I don't trim. So that's on the to-do list today. Unless one of you all would like to come over and do it for me. So, well, we want to say good morning and welcome to you. We actually have several visitors here this morning. You guys look good. Thank you for coming. We've got some of our regulars that are out. We've got some that are sick. We've got some that are traveling. We have some that have new grandkids, so they wanted to go see them. So we've got a little bit of folks out today, but we do want to say welcome and good morning to those of you that are here. So happy for you guys to be here this morning. Real quick, I'm just going to briefly highlight a few things this morning that are in your bulletin. The first one being, I was handed this. I'm not a lady by any means, but I was given one of these ballots to remind you ladies. Miss Paula went around and passed out several of these this morning. These are for our Giggles group, our ladies' ministry. They are voting on council members this morning today. So if you have not received one of these but you want to vote, you can see Paula. We're asking that you fill this out. And there is a basket right before you walk through the double doors there on one of the chairs, I believe on the left side, there as you go out. If you can fill this out and then just fold it up and slip it in there. That way we can have that. We would greatly appreciate it. Then another announcement that's not in your bulletin. We are getting ready to end one church year and start a new one. And we always have a little bit of changes. And we are in need of some Sunday school teachers in our children's department. If you are interested, would be willing to help out either as a full-time teacher or maybe as a fill-in or a substitute, please come see me, see Pastor. We will be announcing this probably for the next several weeks. But if you or maybe you know someone that would make a great children's Sunday school teacher, please let me know and let Pastor know, like I said, as well. Tomorrow evening is the first meeting of the new church board. So if you are elected to the new church board, 6:30 tomorrow evening, we will meet here at the church. And then Tuesday evening, we've got a lot going on Tuesday. Ladies' Council will meet here at the church at 6:30. But more importantly, men's church softball starts. So we will be playing at 6 o'clock Tuesday evening. You guys are more than welcome to come out and participate in cheering us on. I made mention of this last week. Our men's softball team, we're not the greatest, but we do it more for the fun of it and then the outreach aspect of it. We only have about four or five guys here in the church that are actually on the team. A majority of the team are men that don't necessarily have a church home. They don't necessarily regularly attend somewhere. So for them to be involved in our softball team is how we can kind of try to integrate them into a church atmosphere. So if you all can make it out Tuesday nights, we would love for you all to come out and to cheer us on. Again, that is 6 o'clock on Tuesday evening. Keep this bulletin handy. As we head into summer, we've got a lot of stuff that will be coming up, a lot of different outreaches, a lot of different aspects where you all will have the opportunity to volunteer for stuff. Last two things that I want to highlight. Remember to be in prayer for our John Thomas Elementary School. We've got a couple weeks left in this month to focus on them. And then Vacation Bible School right around the corner. I've seen lots of stuff donated up front. Amber says, keep bringing it. We'll let you know when we don't need any more. Am I getting the no? Okay. Okay. Apparently, I did not read far enough south. Thanks to all who have brought in bottles, cardboard rolls, and newspapers. We have enough. There will be other things that, as we get closer to Vacation Bible School, that we will need help on. But for the time being, stop. But thank you. Thank you for everything that you've brought so far. We do have an abundance. So thank you for that.
So if you ever wondered where our crisis care kits, that's where they go. And that was the warehouse in Kansas City. And I just was kind of overwhelmed when I saw that, because I thought it's so neat how we can see where they go and saw the different places that where they've landed. And maybe a crisis care kit that you packaged together was on that load. So anyway, but for those of you that are not familiar with that, the Nazarene Church has a ministry. We put together a crisis care kit, and any time there is a need anywhere, these are shipped to different places. And what is so neat is the Nazarene Church is usually first on the scene, which I just think that is so neat. But all the churches get together and make these crisis care kits, and we need to have them again. Don was saying that at District Assembly, we're gonna bring several there, and that will be good because then we don't have to pay the shipping on them. So those of you that would like to do that, Linda's going to be standing outside after the service and is going to be handing these out. But the crisis care kits contain shampoo, soap, toothpaste, toothbrushes, Band-Aids, fingernail clippers, combs, hand towels, Kleenex, and a Beanie Baby. And if you would like to make up one of these, we've found that going to the dollar store or Dollar Tree is really good. It will cost you, I think it was like $18 for me to put together a packet. And everything is on this paper that Linda will give you. And if you don't feel like you can do all that, just get a few items, whatever. But those will need to be taken to District Assembly, which will be the last week of May. So we'd need to probably have them before that.
Thank you, Carolyn and Linda. That was a coverage that covered the whole world. To bring this into reality, for us, we distributed 4,000 of those crisis care kits when the tornado hit Joplin. And it's pretty amazing to see a setup. A large U-Haul truck sitting in the midst of an Aldi's parking lot, and all these people who have just lost everything can walk up to the back of that truck and pick up one of those crisis care kits and have the things that they, the necessities that they need to help take care of them. So I had to say something about that because I happened to be there firsthand and saw those things distributed, and it was a miraculous thing. Also, 500 of them were distributed during the tornado aftermath at Baxter Springs, Kansas. So this brings it home, and you can see what actually takes place and how desperately people need them. It didn't take us very long to give away a whole truckload over at Joplin at the Aldi's parking lot. I'd like to have our ushers come at this time to receive our weekly tithes and offerings.
Father, we're mindful this morning after watching this video of the work that goes on,
yes,
not just
Lord,
locally, but around the world. And we just thank you, Lord, how maybe seemingly a small resource that we put together that touches people locally, as Pastor Don said, locally, but it also touches people around the world.
Yes.
And that's the same with our tithes and offerings this morning, Lord. We give locally, and a lot of it stays locally, but so much of it reaches throughout the world. We just pray, Lord, as we give a portion of what you've blessed us with, that it might touch people's lives for the cause of Christ. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Time, pour out for all mankind. worthy of honor and glory, worthy of all of our praise, for you overcame. Jesus, awesome in power and forever, awesome and great is your name, for you overcame. Savior, worthy of honor and glory, worthy of all our praise, for you overcame. Jesus, awesome in power forever, awesome and great is your name, for you the blood of Jesus. Oh.
prayer this morning to give God all that you are? I trust that you've already done that, but if you haven't, this is a good time. And we pause and pray today over issues that are heavy on our hearts. We rejoice with those that rejoice, and we weep with those that weep. I was looking at prayer requests and was thinking about the sermon that I challenged you with last Sunday about ordinary people and how people follow in the footsteps of the rabbi and they want to do everything just like the rabbi does. And so we've got Chris Downing out with knee surgery this week. Donna Groves decided to have her gallbladder taken out. I don't know if I want you following the rabbi quite that closely. Okay? You don't have to do everything I do that way. But at any rate, we pray for these folks who indeed have had these surgeries, and we continue to remember those that are on our prayer list that have been battling issues. We want to remember Bonnie Smith this morning. Her dad is in the hospital with pneumonia and has been dealing with some congestive heart failure. And so remember him in your prayers. MJ Willard is home sick this morning. Continue to pray for Lance Ogden, who's pastor of Higher Vision Church. He is in about the last 4 days in Pakistan. And I saw his wife last night at an event, and she is ready for him to come home. But he is having a good time. I've seen pictures on Facebook, and they continue to do ministry and hold crusades and share Jesus with people in the country of Pakistan. So you pray for the success and for their safe return home. And then some of you may have heard by now, but Brett, who's doing our children's church this morning, Brett Caldwell, lost his job this week. And they had to downsize their company, and they terminated some positions, and his was one of them. And so pray for Brett and Mindy as they're seeking God's direction for their future and for employment and for a job. And then, we rejoice together. And so, Justin, if you'll put that picture up, or a couple pictures there that we have this morning. I wasn't going to do this because I don't like to use the pulpit to do things that everybody else doesn't get to do, but the ladies asked for this morning. So there is Otis. And so he came in Wednesday about 1 o'clock, a little before 1 o'clock, and Mama had quite a struggle, but we thank you for your prayers. She was able to deliver Otis naturally, which for whatever, that was a big deal to Larissa. She did cesarean the first time because Felix was 9-11, Otis was 9-9, and she came within, we didn't know this. We couldn't figure out why they wouldn't communicate with us. I mean, we got there about 11 o'clock Wednesday morning. We came right after they called. And we didn't hear from them until 5 o'clock Wednesday afternoon. And we didn't get to see Larissa or the baby until about noon on Thursday. And come to find out that Larissa had had some episodes with loss of blood and came within about a point of having to have transfusions. But Mom and baby are home and safe and doing well. And so I'm glad you're rejoicing with me about that this morning. And so we introduce you to our new grandson. And he's not any more important than your grandsons and your granddaughters. But thank you for praying for us. And thank you for the way you treat your pastor and his family. And Jennifer is in Olathe. She wasn't ready to come home when I came home. And so she's helping out up there. And we'll go back and get her sometime. But anyway, thank you so much for your prayers. There are many ongoing things that are in the bulletin that we continue to remember in our prayers. We thank you, Lord, for those whom you have touched that have been away, that are back this morning and with us. And then we pray for these that are gone. And we continue to ask God to touch and help and heal. Let's stand together this morning. We're going to sing together. The altars are open to you if you have need of them. And again, thank you so much for your prayers and your support of our family. But if there's something going on in your life and you just need a place to leave it with God, these altars are available to you this morning as we sing, and then we'll join our voices together in prayer.
Lord, I give you every storm. Thank you.
are indeed gracious. We thank you, Lord, for your touch in our lives. You are so gracious to us. Grace and mercy, love and forgiveness, those are words that we use a lot at church. Sometimes, like other things in life, we can use them so frequently that they kind of become taken for granted. Lord, we want to appreciate every moment of grace we've received. We want to thank you for every sin you've forgiven. Thank you for all the love that has been laid out and bestowed upon us. We thank you for the love that puts together Christ's Caricates. Lord, I was thinking while this video was rolling this morning, what would it be like to have been so devastated and have your property so demolished that you couldn't find your toothbrush? And what would it be like to be able to brush your teeth, have toothpaste and a toothbrush, everything else was gone? Or maybe for a kid, Lord, I know that for my grandkids, they almost all have some blanket or toy that they're attached to that brings them comfort, and that's they go to sleep with it, they wake up with it. And for that beanie baby to come through to those kids. Lord, sometimes the stuff that seems so insignificant to us as we prepare it and put it together, in the moment of crises, that little thing becomes a big thing. And Father, we thank you for all of the efforts, for the time in putting those crisis care kits together, for the money that was expended to put them together. And Lord, as we begin to do that again, may we think about, Lord, would you help us to just think about when we load those baggies, those Ziploc bags with those items, that we would think about every time we zip one of those. That we think, you know, the person that's going to receive this is going to be somebody who's going through a storm. So, Lord, we give you the storms. We thank you for the mountaintops when you take us up where we can see the blue skies, the sunshine. But Lord, we know the valleys are a part of life as well. And, Lord, as we come to you in this prayer time this morning, we come with the greatest of confidence. Told us to come boldly into the throne room to obtain help in our time of need. And so, Lord, we thank you that we can do that. Lord, our greatest need this morning is to be saved, filled with your Spirit. Lord, if there's someone here this morning who's never confessed their sin, never asked you to come into their heart, Lord, we pray that this would be the day that would happen for them. That's why Jesus came to the cross. It's why you raised him from the tomb. Victory over death, hell, and the grave. Lord, this morning we thank you for that. And there is just something about that name, Jesus. Sometimes it's all we can say. It's the only way we know how to pray, is just to say Jesus over and over and over again. Because we know that that same Jesus sits at the right hand of the Father and intercedes on our behalf, and what we can only moan and groan in our spirit, he puts into words, into the Father's ears, and God begins to act, and our lives are forever changed. Because you are all-knowing, all-sufficient, all-powerful. So, Lord, we humble ourselves before you, with bended knee and bowed hearts today. Recognize you as sovereign God, in charge of all the universe. Most importantly, in charge of our universe, our lives. Lord, we yield our lives to you. We ask you to be not just Savior, but Lord and Master. Lord, we come this morning and say we want to hear from you today. We want you to speak to us, and then, Lord, we want to respond obediently to whatever your call is. Because that's why we're here, to serve your kingdom's purpose. So, Father, thank you so much for all that you have done, for your great salvation. Lord, these things that are on our prayer list, we lay down before you on this altar of prayer, and we leave them there saying, touch these lives physically, emotionally, financially, whatever the case might be. Lord, you intervene for them. Answer these prayers, as we know that you will. And Lord, we ask you to continue just to bless us with your presence now as we worship you. May you be honored and glorified. Thank you for loving us. We love you back. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen.
Discouraged, and why should the shadows come? Why should my heart be lonely and long for heaven and home? When to me.
Stephanie, appreciate that. Brother Rennie, if you'll come join me on the platform. I can't ever hear that song that I indeed don't think of Billy Graham Crusades and Ethel Waters singing that song. Wonderful, wonderful song. Great promise of God. If you have your Bible this morning, turn to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. We talked about ordinary people last week, and we talked about how God, uses ordinary people. And one of the things that we've been talking about for a while off and on, but we're ready to try to take some action on it this morning, and you're part of that action, is that we want to better organize our understanding of who we are as a church and how we can respond to each other's needs. And so I turn your attention this morning as we begin, and Rennie is going to carry the most of the load this morning, but turn to John chapter 6. I remind you of a very familiar story in the Scripture. And in John chapter 6 and verse 5 we read, "When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming toward him, he said to Philip, 'Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?' And then in verse 9, it says, 'Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish. How far will they go among so many?' And then verses 12 and 13, when they had all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, 'Gather the pieces that are left over and let nothing be wasted.' So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten." Now, there are so many things that you've heard spoken of in this passage and in this challenge this morning. But where I want our minds to go is to think of this great miracle that started because a little boy gave what he had. Now, there wasn't anybody else evidently that thought to pack anything. You know, we got ready to make this trip to Olathe, and my wife, she gets a water bottle. She wants a water bottle while she's driving on the road, and we try to plan ahead, and I saw she fixed a little baggie with some Cheez-Its in it, you know, and then one of the things that the safety valve is halfway to Olathe, you know, or close to halfway, you get up to Osceola, and you can stop at Osceola Cheese and get cheese samples, you know, if you're really in trouble there, to deliver you through the trip. But at any rate, this small boy, his mom thought enough to give him a lunch, or he thought enough to put together a lunch. And so as he knew he was going to go try to see this Jesus person who he had heard of and was famous, he packed the lunch. He was in for the day. He was going to stay. And when I was growing up, you know, we tend to take everything in the Scripture and we westernize it, and we adapt the Scripture to whatever we understand in current day. And so 5 loaves and 2 fish, I'm thinking, you know, 5 loaves of colonial bread and fish, like fish. But as we come to understand this, and as I've gone through the years and read more and more scholars, basically this was a boy's lunch. It was more like biscuits. You know, it was what they would call a loaf, but it was kind of an individual serving, and the fish would be more like sardines. You know, kind of a cheese and crackers kind of thing. And so this boy had these biscuits and sardines, and if I was a boy, now I just know me and how I was, and there were 5,000 people sitting around, Rennie, and I'm thinking, I got 5 biscuits here and a couple of sardines. I'm not telling anybody. I'm hungry. I'm a growing boy. I need my nourishment, and I'm just going to quietly kind of pull these out from under my cloak, you know, and slip one in once in a while so that I don't bother anybody. But this boy wasn't like that. And you got to, I mean, stop and think about this. They need some lunch. And this boy must have been a visionary person. I'm going to guess that when he became a man, he was probably a very successful entrepreneur. Because he took those small pieces and he said, I'm going to give them up and they can use them. And the wonderful thing about this whole story is that no matter how small, you know the song that we sang to you last week, no matter how small our all may seem to us, little becomes much when you place it in the Master's hand. And that's what this story is all about. And a couple of 3 weeks ago at men's ministry breakfast, Rennie shared a devotional, and this thought had been on our mind, and we've been trying to figure out when to present this, and the Lord just impressed me while Rennie was sharing his devotional. Sometimes you need to hear a voice from among you, and I want to be one of you, and I want to be friends with you, but sometimes I'm the preacher, and preaching is what I'm supposed to do, and so you just put up with it. And sometimes we need to hear a voice that walks alongside us, that's one of us. And I was so blessed by what Rennie shared. I asked him, I said, could I start and kind of finish a presentation for the church that would get us where we've been wanting to go for a while, but would you share with the church what you shared with those men that were there on that morning? And so I'm going to turn this pulpit over to Rennie for a few moments this morning and let him share with you the challenge of us being able to minister to people both inside and outside the church and taking what we have and offering it to God.
Thank you, Brother Gary. You know what? Setting up here, looking back, I noticed one thing. You don't have a clock back here. So how does the pastor know when it's time to quit?
Well, you've been here long enough, you know I don't.
Okay. So I guess I am not under any time constraints. Okay. Betty being my wife, Betty and I started coming to church here 11 months ago, almost a year. And shortly after we started coming, I had an opportunity to visit with Pastor Gary and Pastor Don regarding a ministry that God had placed upon my heart. And you're saying ministry, not another one. And I know everybody doesn't have the same passion. And I know a lot of you are already involved in ministries, and for that, I am truly thankful. And I'm not looking to put a greater burden upon anyone or anything like that. Initially, whenever I told them that God had placed this ministry upon my heart, it was something that I thought that I would do and maybe involve a few others. But then as we began to talk and as we began to think, we saw that there was maybe an opportunity for more and more people to be involved. Initially, I thought it would be a ministry of men, but not so. There are opportunities that out there in which that some women might be able to be involved in. And it's not necessarily going to be something in which that we would be doing once a month or even that we'd be doing daily or even once a week or once a month. It'd be something that would happen on occasion, but we'd need to be able to have a group of people that would be willing to be able to step up and step out and do something for someone else. And not just necessarily in the name of the church, but in the name of Christ. Amen. One of the things that I noticed at this year's NICSPO is that, and this is really the first time I had ever really gone and helped out at the church booth there. One of the things that I noticed is that a lot of people would come by the booth or walking up and down the aisles, and they would look up at the banner, whether it happened to be on our side of the row or on the other side of the row. Our side of the row was the Nixa Church of the Nazarene. On the other side was the Aldersgate Methodist Church. And people would come down and up and down those aisles, and they'd look up, they'd see the banner, and immediately they would divert their eyes down. Wouldn't want to make eye contact with either side. And so why is that? Well, for some reason or another, the church has a bad connotation in the minds of many people. And so whenever I say that this would be a ministry, not necessarily of the church, but of Christ, it is a ministry in which that we would do something that Philip Yancey taught us in a Sunday school class here a little while back as we was looking at one of his videos. And he was talking about the church and the attitude that a lot of people had towards the church these days. And that is, we've got a bad name. And unfortunately, you look at the media, it portrays the church in a bad way. You look at some television shows, it portrays the church in a negative way. Even some of our politicians, and unfortunately, even the leader of our country, at times portrays the Christian people in a negative way. And so what he said is that sometimes instead of immediately going to the person's head where they already have a negative mindset towards church and towards religion, that what we need to do is that we need to be able to use our hands. And through our hands, we touch their heart, and then we allow their heart to impact their head or their mind. And so that is something that I would like for us to look at and that we might be looking at proposing to be able to do. As an example, I recently read about a group of men who happen to be mechanics a group of men who are auto mechanics in a particular church. And there were ministries within that church, but there was not one that necessarily met their skill set. And so what they decided to do with the permission of the church is that once a month they put out a free oil change clinic in the church parking lot. And anybody and everybody that needed to have an oil change were welcome to come. If you didn't have the finances for it, that was fine. They were going to change your oil. You might be a single mom with no income, no resources to be able to maintain an automobile. You could come and they would change their oil for free. And soon the demand for those kinds of services got to the point to where not only were they doing it, changed from once a month to once a week. Every week they would have a clinic out in the parking lot changing oil for people who had a need. And eventually, there were other people within the community that got involved in this. And some were saying, well, I've got an old automobile that we're not using over here. What if I donated it to the church? And then you all have the skills and the ability to be able to bring that car up to standards. And we can give those to single moms who do not have transportation, or to someone who is seeking work that does not have transportation to be able to get from this interview to this interview. And so they started volunteering, they started donating cars, and these men started fixing up the cars and started giving them away to people who had a need. And finally it got to the point that the demand was so high that the church said, why don't we build a full-service auto shop on church property? And they did, giving away services to people who had a need for it. Now, it does not say how many people they attracted into their church as a result of this, and they were not necessarily doing it in the name of the church, but because of the love that they had for other people, because of the love that Christ had for them, they did this. So they took their hands, they reached out to the heart of people, and eventually or ultimately, that would impact a person's mind. So that is something that I'm thinking about here. It's called helping hands or our Father's hands, or we can give it whatever kind of name that we want to. But the ministry that I felt like that God was leading me to, that I spoke to Pastor Gary and Pastor Don about, was that there might be people around us, starting out within the church and maybe then outside of the church, that had a need for something, and primarily thinking about maybe some of our older ladies of the church who may not have someone around that could help them on a regular basis. I remember whenever at one time there was a dear lady that Betty and I both loved. We called her Sister Martin. Her name was Claudine Martin. And one day she had asked if I could come over and help her change some light bulbs. She just needed some light bulbs changed. And so we were working with youth at our church at that particular time. And I asked her, I said, would it be all right if we brought over a group of kids and maybe they can help around the house a little bit while I'm changing out your light bulbs? And she said, yeah. So we set up a date, we set up a time, and we went over to her house and got there, and she had windows that needed washed. It was in the fall, and there were leaves out in her backyard, and so we had a group of kids inside that were washing windows. We had another group of kids outside with rakes, raking up leaves and doing this and that, while I was in the process of changing out some light bulbs for her. And then afterwards, after we had gotten all that done, she invited us, everyone, into the house. And she had cookies and hot chocolate prepared for everybody. And while we were enjoying the hot chocolate and the cookies, she began to tell, I asked her, I said, Miss Martin, what was it like whenever you were young? How did you come to know Christ? How did you come to find your husband? And she sat down and she began to share all of these things with us and the kids. The kids talked about it for a long time. Kids talked about it for a long time. Now, this was a lady that knew Christ. She knew Christ, but she very much appreciated everything that was done for her that day. Another time that I can think of, and this is a young man that came over within our youth group that came over to our house to help me one time. And what we're looking for is that we're looking for people who might be skilled and unskilled doing this. And this young man that came over to work with me, he is unskilled. His name was Ben, is Ben. He came over. He's a strapping young, strapping? Yep. Very well built. Young man. Played football and lifted weights and all this kind of stuff. And he came over to the house to help me out. We was getting ready to tear down the stairwell that we had on our outside. It went from the deck downstairs. We was going to replace it with a spiral staircase. Well, he came over and I said, Ben, I need you to remove the steps off of this. And I handed him some tools to be able to do it with. Well, he picked up a 3-pound hammer and proceeded to knock the steps off the stairwell. Well, he has a lot of energy, very little experience. And at one time, he took that 3-pound hammer, he took a big old swing, missed the step, and hit himself in the forehead. Well, unskilled. A lot of excitement, a lot of energy, inexperienced, unskilled. But yet he is a man after God's own heart that really wanted to come out and help. And so I think that there's an opportunity for skilled people and unskilled people to be able to step out and help out.
Good.
Young and old. I like taking young people with me. Number one, I'm not as young as I used to be. They can do things much easier. Some things they can do much easier than I can. And with, like a lot of you, I've had a knee replaced, so I can't get down like I used to. A young person can do that much more. Old people, the only people that I think that we can excuse are those that might be over the age of 86. Why 86? My dad is 86 years old. He volunteers a lot to help people with carpentry, electric work, mechanic work. People are coming to him all the time. At 86 years of age, he's slowed down. It takes him a little bit longer, but he still does it.
Amen. Great.
So you can't be too young, and you can't be too old.
Amen. Good.
And then, so that's where you all can come in. There's another place where you can come in. Again, you may not have the same passion that I have for this. And if you're involved in another ministry, I don't want to take you away from that. And I don't think God wants you to give that ministry up. But if you, we'd like to give you the opportunity to be able to help out. And there's going to be a survey that will be handed out later. They'll give you that opportunity, and maybe there's something that you can do to be able to help out. The next thing we need, it's not going to be much use if we have a group of people that says that they're willing to help out if we don't know if there are any needs. And if you happen to be someone within the church that has a need that might need a skill set of someone within the church, we'd like to be able to come out and help you. Maybe it's changing light bulbs. Maybe it's changing the air filter in your HVAC system. Maybe it's changing out door handles or something like that. Like Betty told me of a need of a single mom that she worked with. And she was having problems opening up her back door. So I went over there and worked on her doorknob and got it to where it worked right then. Didn't take long. But there was a need, and we were able to meet it at that particular time. So we need to know about people who might have a need. And I know that, I'm like this myself. I'd rather do it myself. And if I can't do it myself, I surely don't want to ask anyone to come and do it. But I hope that you don't feel that way. If you have a need, that you're willing to reach out to those who are willing to help out. And this would be for people who are churched and unchurched, people who are members and non-members. And we'd like to be able to offer the work without cost, provide labor without cost. Now, sometimes there might be a need in which that there might be some supplies and materials that would be needed. And we'd like for the people that we're helping out to be able to pay for those. But there might be times, too, in which that the people will not have the resources to be able to do it. And by God's grace and through His favor, we'll figure out a way of getting it done if it is within our ability to be able to do. Matthew chapter 25, beginning with verse 31, says, "When the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then He will sit on the throne of His glory. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And He will set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on the left. Then the King will say to those on the right hand, 'Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me.' Then the righteous will answer him, saying, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and gave you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothed you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you?" And the king will answer and say to them, "Assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me."
James, I need you and John and Stevie, if you'll come, and Zach, if you'll come and help me, please. Just split that up into about four stacks. I'd like for every individual that's here and part of our church family, if you're a visitor this morning, well, you obviously wouldn't necessarily need to fill one of these out, but it's really not based on a per family thing. It's a per individual, because every individual has different abilities. So get that into the hands of our people there this morning. And I want to turn your attention to 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 10. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 10 says, "Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms." And you heard the challenge that that Brother Rennie has put before us, and he has this on his heart, and very likely Pastor Don and I are kind of in agreement. When God lays a ministry on somebody's heart, those who have the passion for it oftentimes are the best to try to lead it and organize it, because it's just on their heart and they've thought through it and those kinds of things. And so very likely that Brother Rennie will be helping us to lead this ministry. But I wonder, as we go back to that story of the little boy and the loaves and fishes, if we ever think about what his thoughts might have been when it came to the end of that meal. I wonder what that little boy was thinking when everybody had eaten all they wanted. You know, the scripture basically says if they wanted seconds, they got them. After God had blessed, Jesus blessed it, and he put it out there before the people, And the 5,000 is the number of men. They didn't count women and children because they didn't count. But they were there. And so we know there was more than 5,000 people that were part of that event. And Jesus put that all out there. And then there were 12 baskets left over. Now again, as a kid growing up, baskets meant laundry baskets to me. You know, and so I was thinking it had like 12 baskets of food. But later reading the scholars, and this is kind of an amazing thing too when you stop and think about, possibly 5,000 to 15,000 people that would have been there that day. Jesus was traveling with 12 men. And there were 12 baskets that were left over, and it might have been because he said, "Don't waste any." Maybe they weren't laundry baskets. Maybe they were just lunch baskets. And maybe there was just enough left over to take care of the lunch for these 12 men traveling with Jesus on another day. I don't know. What I know is this: when we are willing to take what we have, even when we think what we have doesn't amount to much, whatever it is that we have will meet a need that somebody else can't do for themselves. And when we offer our abilities and our skills and our gifts out there, then God blesses that in the use of that to other people. And God is glorified. It's not about us. It's not about somebody thanking us. It's not about somebody appreciating us. It's about the fact that we can take what we have and meet somebody else's need, and God is honored and glorified as a result of that. I want to close with this illustration, and I encourage you this morning, as a response to the invitation, that if you indeed have a utensil and can fill that form out before you leave here. There is indeed a place for your name and an email address or whatever, so that we can communicate with you should we have need of your skills. You'll notice that on there is a very simple form. Are you willing? Do you have experience? And do you have the tools? Because, you know, sometimes people can fix things if they have the right tools. And so if you just simply check that, we're going to create a database within the church that will allow us to know who has the ability to do certain things. So as people make us aware of their needs, and Brother Rennie is so right that we have to get past our pride sometimes to say, "I'm not in a position to stand on a ladder right now and do this." Believe me, I've had to fight that battle myself in the last few months. I want to get well enough, fast enough, I can do stuff myself. And you know, the truth of the matter is, it kind of bugs me a little bit to ask somebody older than me to do something I can't do. And it bugs me a little bit to ask somebody younger than me to do what I can't do. So the truth of the matter is, I got to get past my pride, because sometimes it just bugs me to have to ask people, because my dad always taught me to do things myself and not to ask people to do stuff I can do. So, you know, in the spiritual realm, sometimes we got to get past all that, and we got to help each other. And God is honored and glorified as a result of that. Listen to this, though. One of the things that I contemplated reading to you was a passage of Scripture about Jesus taking up the towel. But this illustration, God knew ahead of time, would be the appropriate way to end. I will draw your attention to one verse in John chapter 13 this morning in just a moment. Bruce Thielman, pastor of First Presbyterian Church in Pittsburgh, told of a conversation with a member of his flock who said, "You preachers talk a lot about do unto others, but when you get right down to it, it comes down to basin theology." And Thielman asked, "Basin theology, what in the world is that?" And the layman said, "Remember what Pilate did when he had the chance to acquit Jesus? He called for a basin and washed his hands of the whole thing. But Jesus, the night before his death, called for a basin and proceeded to wash the feet of the disciples. It all comes down to basin theology. Which basin will you use?" And John 13:15 says, in the words of Jesus, "I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you." Serve others. And so fill that paperwork out. If you don't have a pen or whatever, you can grab one off the Welcome Center today, or you can bring it back tonight or Wednesday night or next Sunday, or you can take it home and scan it in your computer and send it to the church office email or whatever you want to do. But just fill it out and get it back to us so that we can create a database and we can begin to help each other and our community in a greater way, because we'll have a knowledge of our resources and our abilities. Would you stand with me this morning? Father, we know we live in a day and a time sometimes that we're almost afraid to fill out these kind of forms for fear that somebody's going to take our time and we won't have time, or maybe our ability is not a good enough ability. Lord, there can be a myriad of reasons, and the devil will get in on almost all of it. Lord, all we're asking this morning is that we get the mind of a little boy. Who, in the midst of looking at over 5,000 people, took some biscuits and sardines and says, "Hey, make lunch out of this." And you did. More than enough. And so, Lord, this morning, let us offer what you've given to us. Let us give what we have, knowing that you can bless it and make it so much more than it is as we see it, understand it. And Lord, help us as a church to continue to be the hands and the feet of Jesus, reaching out to a community in love, whether it's the community of the believers inside the church or the community at large around our church in the shadow of our steeple. Let us rightly represent you. Challenge our hearts. Let us respond with our lives. And may you be honored and glorified. For it's in the precious name and the powerful name of the Son Jesus Christ that we ask it. And all God's people said, amen.